How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good. Oh, it's Christmas time. Born is the King. I mean, I love that song. But for some reason, when we start singing the doo-doos, we start cracking up. So that's why you saw like Alana crack up a little bit. It's like doo-doo-doo-doo. I don't know why it's funny. It just is. I don't know. But I love this time of year because we start singing Christmas carols and joy to the world and all these great things that bring joy and peace into our lives. And it just seems like there's a better spirit in the air around Christmas time. And even with non-believers, God gives us this sense of his peace and his joy and his love during this time of year where we begin to celebrate his son's birth. And I love this time of year. I told first service that my wife was in here. She's not in here this service, but I always make fun of her for turning on Christmas music at Halloween. But for some reason, I got to admit a little bit, don't ever hold this against me, but I kind of like Christmas music. I mean, there's this joy behind Christmas music that you don't get from other music, and you can always tell when a Christmas song comes on because there's just something about the music that's more joyful and more peaceful, and it's weird. Even Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, for some reason. I don't know. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but I love this time of year. But there's a lot of things during this time of year that, if I'm going to be absolutely honest, there are some things that I don't like. There are some things that I hate, for a lack of a better term. I love the joy. I love the peace. I love the time with family. I love all those things that Christmas represents that are good, those things that we focus on. Like I said to you guys last week, focus on those things that are lovely, joyful, commendable. Those things those are the things that we should focus on. And during this time of year, those are the things that I want to focus on, is those things that are lovely, that bring joy, that are commendable, that are good. Those are the things that I want to focus on. But there's this other thing during Christmas time, and I think that all of you will agree with me, it brings out the consumerism in all of us. That time of Christmas where we want to buy the hottest iPad or the hottest iPhone or the newest Xbox, or Christmas consumerism that takes place during this time of year, and I love this stuff and I want to focus on this stuff, but I want to do away with this stuff. And it's not that I don't want to buy presents for my kids. It's not that I don't want to give gifts, because that's part of celebrating Christmas, is giving gifts to others in celebration of the gift that God gave to us, Jesus. That's part of Christmas. But there's this consumeristic attitude that prevails in our culture, and that's the part that I don't like. That's the part that I wish I could somehow do away with it. But if I'm to be absolutely honest, it's so easy for me to fall into that as well. It's so easy for me to look at the Gibson Standard Gold Top Les Paul that is just absolutely gorgeous, that is flame maple, and it's got the double humbuckers, and it's just rosewood fretboard, and it's one of those guitars that you like to pet. It's one of those guitars, and I look at that and I'm like, oh man, Kathy, that's what I want for Christmas. I so want that for Christmas. And it's so easy to fall into that. I mean, right, Brenton? Right? I mean, what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it's that guitar is gorgeous. It's one of those where if there was more humidity in the air, I would frame it on my wall, and it's so easy to fall into that. But that's also the part that I don't like. That's also the part that I hate. And it's become part of our culture. And that's not the meaning of Christmas. That's not the meaning of Christmas. Things and stuff and money and spending money, and that's not why God sent his son. He sent his son for the other stuff. The joy, the peace, the relationships, the family, the time that we spend together, our loved ones, the celebration of Christ through giving gifts that are meaningful to the person, to where we gave some thought to. We just didn't go out and buy the quickest sweater that was so cute on the rack and give it. We took time to think about, who is this person? What do they mean to me? How much do they mean to me? I mean, what is it that they would really love? What is it that they would really like? And spending time with family in celebration of Christ's birth, worshiping Christ, that's what Christmas is about. That's what it's about. And it's so easy to fall into this other stuff because it just is. We're selfish. We live in a culture of consumerism. And one of the things that I want to stress is the problem isn't money. That's not the problem. The problem isn't capitalism. The problem isn't stuff. The problem is the love of that stuff. The problem is when we put that stuff above what God really intended for this time of year, which is relationships and restored relationship with Him and relationships with one another. That's what the Christmas season is about. It's about Jesus coming to this earth to restore a relationship with God. And our reflection of that is our relationships with our family members and our loved ones and the celebration of that together. 1 Timothy 6:9-10 says this, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Notice that this verse says it is the love of money. It is the desire to be rich. It's not having money. It's not having things. It's not giving things to people. That's not what the issue is. The issue is much deeper than that. It's a love. It's a heart issue. It's a love of those things. But it's not wrong to be wealthy. It's not wrong to be rich. It's not wrong to be poor. I mean, even poor people can covet wealth, and they can covet things. I mean, I want a Gibson Standard Les Paul gold top. I want that. I'm not wealthy enough to buy it because that's like a $3,000 guitar. I mean, it's expensive, okay? What's wrong is not owning that thing. What's wrong is not having that thing. What's wrong is placing that thing above my love for God and above my love for others. But when we have a proper perspective of money, when we have a proper perspective of things, when we have a proper perspective of that stuff that we own, then we can begin using that stuff as a blessing for others. Paul continues in this. He says in 1 Timothy 6:17, he says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." What he says here is God provides that stuff, everything, for us to enjoy. So if I happen to own that Les Paul, it's okay for me to enjoy it. It's okay to enjoy it. He richly gives us so we can enjoy it. But then he says this, "They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life." I believe that if you have a proper view of your money and of your things, and you don't fall into that consumerism that is so prevalent in our society, especially this time of year, we have the freedom to be a blessing to others. You can serve in a lot of different ways, and money and gifts is just one way that we can serve. When I was moving here to Fernley from Portland, Oregon, it was December of 2009 that I moved here. And during my candidacy for another church, I asked them. I was from Portland, and in Portland, at least once a year, we get like 2 feet of snow, and I mean, it's just packed, and I get the schools shut down. I get a day off of work. It's awesome, right? So I asked them when I moved down here, or when I was moving down here, I asked them, do you guys get snow there? I was thinking, Nevada, you know, you're close to the Sierras, you know, you might get snow. And they're like, oh, no, we just get this dusting of snow. And then it's gone by the very next day. It melts really quickly. And that was the year when I moved down, the very week I moved down, that was the year that we had that huge snowstorm. You guys remember that? Those of you here were here in 2009. That huge snowstorm was like negative 10 degrees, and they had to close like I-80, and there was ice everywhere, and you would like walk out in Walmart, and it's like instantly when you stepped out of your car, like the hairs in your nose would like freeze. You know that feeling? So it was freezing. So I told them, I'm like, you guys lied to me. You guys totally lied to me. You guys said it was just a dusting of snow, but no, this is horrible. I mean, there's like a foot of snow here. And I remember that my in-laws came down and we had to drive them to the airport, and it was just right after that huge snowstorm. And all we had was my van, my little Honda Odyssey, which didn't have four-wheel drive or anything because it was a Honda Odyssey. And so I had to borrow one of my elders' SUVs. Now remember, this is the very first week I moved here. And so I didn't even know this guy. I knew him for like maybe 3 days. And he was generous enough to loan me his very nice Ford Explorer with four-wheel drive so I could take my in-laws to the airport safely. So we got them to the airport. They took off. They were fine. They got on the airplane fine. But on our way back, I like hit this patch of ice. And I like started spinning and ran into the guardrail. And like, so the very first week on the job, I had to call one of the elders of my church, who was so gracious to loan me his very nice Ford Explorer, 2006, whatever it was, Ford Explorer with all the options, the moonroof and all that stuff. Very nice. And I had to call him and say, dude, I wrecked your car. Very first week I was here. But you know what his response was? It's just stuff. It's just stuff. It's just things. And that's why we loan it to you, so that your family would be safe, so that you would be able to take your in-laws back to the airport and come back safely. And if we would have been in our van, I guarantee you, it would have been totaled. But because he had a proper view of his stuff, because he had a proper view of his things, he was able to bless my family. He was able to keep us safe. This is the attitude that we should have when it comes to stuff during this Christmas season, where it's so easy to be focused on what is it that I want? What's the next Apple product that I want? What is the next Xbox that I want? What is the next item, that thing that I want so desperately that I need? I need that gold top Les Paul. I need it. It's so easy to get caught up in that. So this morning, I want to invite you to join with me in what I'm calling a Christmas conspiracy. I want you to conspire with me to not buy into the consumerism of our culture. Now, I'm not saying to not spend any money. I'm not saying to not give gifts. I think that that's part of celebrating Christ's birth, celebrating God's gift to us. We give gifts to others. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with spending money. But what I'm saying is, I want to, this year, I want to aspire to spend less on the indulgences, those things that are unnecessary. One of my favorite movies is Christmas with the Cranks. You guys know that movie, Tim the Toolman Taylor? Yeah, Tim Allen. I call him Tim the Toolman Taylor. I just remember him from Tool Time, you know, whatever that show was. But I love that show, and I love Christmas with the Cranks because it's got this wonderful message of the true meaning of Christmas is celebrating with your friends and your family and your relatives. But there's this one scene in Christmas with the Cranks where his daughter has gone off to join the Peace Corps. And so they're trying to figure out how they're going to celebrate Christmas. And he's sitting in his office, and he's on his calculator, and he's calculating how much money they spent the previous year during Christmas. And the figure that he came up with, and I looked this up because I remember it was huge, was $6,132 that they spent at Christmas. And that just blew my mind. And I'm like, how could anybody spend that much at Christmas? I mean, man, that's a lot of money, and that's a lot of debt. And then I was flabbergasted. And then I started thinking about how much money did we spend last year? And my wife and my kids and on my family members and all those little things that we spent money on. You know, the gifts for each of our kids, gifts for grandparents, gifts for cousins and uncles and aunts and gifts on, how much did we spend on the dinner? How much did we spend on the decorations? I started adding it up in my head, and I was shocked. I was around $2,000. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And it wasn't like we were frivolous. It wasn't that we were frivolous in our spending at all. I mean, we did buy some bigger gifts for our kids, but it wasn't that we were stupid with our money. But it was just so easy to spend that much money and to get caught up in the consumerism of this time of year, this holiday season. It was just so easy to get caught up in that. And so I sat down with Kathy, and we sat down with our kids, and we actually made a budget for ourselves this year. I hate budgets. I absolutely despise them. I just want to, hey, here's, like, I got $10 in the checking account. I'm going to go spend it. You know, that's the way I roll. But so I hate budgets. But we set ourselves a budget. And this is one of the things I want to challenge you guys on this year. It's going to be different for everybody. It's going to be different for everybody. Don't think that because what I'm doing, you have to do that. You have to think, what will work for me and my family? But the idea is to not spend on the indulgences, not to overindulge in, because it's so easy to do. But Kathy and I, we set a budget for our family, and we're not going to go over it. We set that budget, and we talked to our kids, and they were like, yeah, I don't care. They really didn't. They didn't care. I was shocked at that. But the idea is that we just want to spend less this year so that it frees up our resources that if we are able to bless somebody else, we're able to bless them. We're able to bless them with whatever money that we save from not spending on the indulgences. And like I said, this is different for everybody. For me, what it means is I really wanted an Apple Watch this year. I really wanted one. I like fitness. I like being able to track my heart rate and track my steps and all that stuff. But for me, I was like, I don't need Kathy to drop $400 on a watch that, I mean, I don't even really like wearing watches, so why would I want one? But that was for me. But for you, it might be completely different. And the idea of spending less, it doesn't mean that we love any less. Some of my favorite gifts that I gave where I didn't spend anything. Some of those gifts that I've received is where my kids didn't spend anything on me. My daughter, Cara, she has this wonderful giving heart. And whenever it comes around Christmas time, she starts making gifts for us. And she wraps them up, and she wraps them up, and normally she steals my computer paper, which ticks me off because then I run out of computer paper and I can't print anything. But she wraps them up in computer paper, and she just makes little things, and sometimes it's like a sticker that says, I love you, Dad. Or sometimes it's, you know, a little necklace or something for Kathy, or a little ring that's made out of yarn or something. But the point is, she was giving it because she loves us. She didn't spend anything on it. But some of those gifts, they mean more to me than the Gibson gold top that Kathy bought for me a couple years ago. They mean more to me because it's from my daughter. It's from her heart. It's celebrating my relationship with her and her relationship with me. So this year, I want to challenge you to spend less, but spend less on the indulgences. I'm not telling you not to buy Christmas presents. I'm telling you to just think about for yourself, what does it mean for me to not buy into the consumerism of Christmas? And I was nervous about this message because I talked to a few of the elders, I talked to the leaders, and I said, you know, is this just me? Is this the way I feel? And they all agreed, no, this is a problem in our society. It's okay to focus on those good things. It's okay to focus on the joy, the peace, the family time that we're able, those memories that we can make during Christmas. Those are the things we focus on. So in order to focus on those a little more, maybe we need to do this a little less. And that's all I'm saying. And it can be different for everybody. So there's a few key questions that you should just ask yourself. And what does this look like for me personally? What does this look like for my family? And it could be different. It is different for everybody. What determines what is my need or what is my want? What determines that? And are you willing to go against the flow? Are you willing to go against that cultural flow, that cultural pressure of spending money during Christmas time that doesn't necessarily need to be spent, those indulgences? And even after we made that budget, even after Kathy and I made that budget, I found like 100 other things that I want to buy for my kids and buy for my wife because it's the perfect gift, but it's not in the budget. We've made a commitment to spend less so that we can use those resources to bless others at a later time, or when somebody comes to us and they have a need, or that person that's sitting on the street on the corner of Walmart, buying them a hamburger, being able to free up our resources to bless others during this time. The second part of this is not just to spend less, but to give more relationally. To give more relationally. Like I said, my favorite gifts are those gifts that celebrate relationship. Those gifts where Kari has put some time in and made me something that she, out of her own heart, out of her own hard work, where she has wrapped it up in my little computer paper and gives it to me and says, "Dad, I'm giving this to you because I love you." And it's a celebration of relationship. One of my favorite gifts that I ever gave was a gift to my grandpa before he passed away. I was like 7 or 8 years old. And I entered into this essay contest of who is your favorite older person. So I wrote about my grandpa, and I loved my grandpa. He was an awesome guy. He had dribble glasses, and he put them in his cupboard. Dribble glasses where you just grab a glass, fill it up with water, you start taking a drink, and it's got holes in it, so it starts dribbling down your face. I mean, he was hilarious. And he had all these different kinds of things like that. And I love this guy. I loved playing pool with him out in his doghouse, which was basically his man cave, but he called it his doghouse because whenever he got in trouble with grandma, which was all the time, he would head out to his doghouse. And he was one of my favorite guys in the entire world. So I wrote this essay about him, and I was like 7 or 8 years old. And that's what I gave to him for Christmas that year. I wrote it, I copied it, and I gave it to him for Christmas. And when my grandpa died, when I was probably around 24, 25, I went back to his doghouse, and we were cleaning out some of his stuff and looking at things that, hey, maybe this can be something I inherit or whatever. And I looked up on the wall, and my grandpa had framed that essay. That gift that didn't cost me a thing, that celebrated my relationship with my grandpa, as much as it meant to me, it probably even meant more to him. Because it celebrated our relationship. So this year, think about how you can give more relationally. How you can give more that celebrates the relationship that you have with your loved ones. I'm reading this book by Rick McKinley, and he gives some illustrations of what it means to give more relationally. And one of the things that he said there was, or one of the examples that he gives is, there was this son who was going abroad to college. He was going across the sea to the United Kingdom. And so there was going to be this huge distance between his father and himself. And the gift that he gave his father that year was just simply a pound of coffee. But on this pound of coffee, he wrote a note, and he said, "Dad, the only time you can drink this coffee is when I'm with you. The only time you can drink this coffee is when we're sitting down together, having a cup of coffee together, talking, and just having a good time together." And what this told the dad was that his son just wanted to spend time with him. His son wanted to celebrate that relationship that they had together, where they could sit down and have a cup of coffee. That's what it means to give more relationally. And when we give more relationally, we're following the pattern that God has laid down for us. Because when we look at the gift of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation where Jesus Christ left heaven to come to this earth as a little baby, born in a manger where animals eat, as he left heaven, all of that glory, all that stuff that he had, and he emptied himself to come down to heaven, what we are celebrating is that God sent his son to build a relationship with us. That's the only way we can have a relationship with the Father, is through the gift of his son. And theologians, I've been reading a lot of theologians lately, and they all agree that at Christmas time, this is the pattern of gift giving that we should follow. What it means to give relationally, what it means to celebrate relationship. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from him, his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace." And we can learn a lot about what it means to give gifts relationally when we look at the incarnation. The first thing that we see is in Matthew 1:23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. That means that when Jesus came, what God was giving to us was his presence. God was giving a gift of his presence. Sometimes the best gift that you can give during this time of year is your presence. Just being with loved ones, just being with somebody. I remember that when, before my grandma died, I was able to, she had Alzheimer's. And we went down to Roseburg, Oregon, where my family is. And my dad wanted to go visit grandma during Christmas time. And I remember going there and just being in her presence, even though she didn't ever really remember me, she didn't remember Kathy, she didn't really remember our kids, just opening the door and seeing her smile and the joy that was on her face because we showed up and we were there celebrating with you. We were there loving her. We were there just in her presence, just being with her. And like I said, my grandma had Alzheimer's, so I think for some reason she thought I was grandpa. Maybe I looked like my grandpa. She tried kissing me, so that was kind of awkward. But just being in her presence and creating that memory with my kids, creating that memory for my dad who was watching his mom pass away slowly before his eyes, that meant so much to my dad that we took the time to go be with his mother. And that meant so much to me to be able to be with my grandmother. Sometimes the best gift you can give is just to be in the presence of somebody, just to be with somebody. The second thing is that we learn from the incarnation is that the gift of Jesus was personal. If you look at Luke 2, verse 10, it says, "The angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" When God sent his son, do you realize that he was thinking about you personally? He's thinking about you. That word "you," for unto you, it's a personal noun. God was thinking about you. Yes, it's all inclusive. It is Israel and all the world, but it is personal. It is personal. When God sent his son, it was personal. So gifts should be personal. My family, I grew up in a family who only bought gifts near Christmas Eve. I don't know why. We always ran to the store on Christmas Eve and bought gifts. And it was normally for those people that we didn't know were showing up to our house. So we would go out and, mass hysteria in the mall. And everybody was there buying last-minute gifts. And we wouldn't give much thought to it. And that's not how we should celebrate Christ's birth. Our gifts to each other should be personal. We should take time to think, well, what is this person like? What do I love about this person? What celebrates our relationship together? Our gifts should be personal this time of year. I mean, I go back to that essay with my grandpa. The reason he hung that on his wall is because it was personal. It was personal between him and I. Celebrated our personal relationship. The last thing that we should look at in the incarnation is that Jesus' gift was costly. Not in the sense of money, not in the sense of it cost him a lot of cash, but it cost him personally. Look at Philippians 2, verse 4. "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So what these verses are saying is that we should have the same mind of Christ, who gave more of himself than we could ever imagine. He emptied himself. He was in heaven with the Father. He was sitting on a throne with the Father in glory, and he gave all that up. He emptied himself to come to this ball of dirt, this planet, as a baby, and it cost him dearly. Sometimes those gifts that we give during this time of year, they might be uncomfortable to give. It might be the gift of your presence. It might be the gift of something that celebrates a personal relationship, and it might be uncomfortable. It might cost you a little bit personally. But those are the kind of gifts that show that you love and you care for someone. Those are the kind of gifts that really speak to somebody. It says, you know what? They had to give a little bit of themselves this year. And that celebrates relationship. Giving more relationally is the pattern. It's the template that God gave to us for celebrating the birth of his son during this time of year, which is what we celebrate. We celebrate the gift of Jesus Christ. And those are the things that we should focus on. That's what we should focus on. The joy, the peace of God that God gives us, the relationship that God allows for us to have through his son Jesus, the relationships that God gives us on this earth where we can spend time together, we can love on one another, we can worship together, and we can celebrate Christ's birth together. That's the pattern, that's the template that we should have. That's this stuff. And when we focus on this stuff and less on the consumerism of our culture and everything that goes along with that, when we can say, you know what, I'm just going to spend less this year so that I can focus on this piece, which is what really matters. This is what really matters this time of year. So this week's challenge that I want to send out to you guys is to simply spend less on the indulgences. Just spend less on the indulgences. And what that means for you is going to be different for everybody. You've got to figure that out yourself. But I know that there are certain things that Kathy and I have already said, no, we don't really need to spend that money on that this year. And that frees us up to spend money or to give somewhere else. To give to charity. To give to the person on the street. To bless somebody else. And it keeps our focus off of that. The Bible says that where your money is, there your heart is also. So when we give our money to this piece that we don't really like anyways, that's where our heart's going to go. But when we focus on this, spend less here and focus more on this, and giving relationally and spending on relationships, that's what matters. I would love for you guys to join with me in this conspiracy to give more relationally. Give more of your presence, your personal presence into the lives of maybe somebody that you haven't seen for years. Take the time to call them on the phone or Skype them or FaceTime them or whatever. If you're able to be with them during the holidays or able to spend some time with them physically with the holidays, that's going to speak more to them than anything else, that you just took time out of your busy schedule to spend time with them. Give more personally. Think about the person. Think about how God created them. Think about your relationship with them. What is it that I can give to them that celebrates my relationship with them? Maybe it's a pound of coffee and they can only drink that when we're together sitting down for coffee. What would that be? What would that look like? And then give in a way that they know that you love them. Or it might be a little bit more uncomfortable for you. But they know that you made a sacrifice for them. Where they know that you are taking time to show them that you really love and you really care for them. I'm going to start a thread on Facebook, on our Facebook page. And one of the things that I'm going to challenge you guys to do on that on that page is to just throw some ideas down. Here's where I'm going to spend less. Here's where I'm going to give more relationally. Here's how I'm going to incorporate this into my holiday season. Here's some of the things that I'm going to do. And one of the reasons I want to do this is because you guys might have some great ideas that I might want to use myself. And it's just, I mean, there are some things that you guys might think about that I don't think about. And it's a way for us to celebrate together. I'm gonna really celebrate Christmas this year the way God intended for me to celebrate Christmas, the way God intended me to celebrate the birth of his son, Jesus. And I'm gonna focus on these things over here. I'm gonna focus on what God wants me to focus on. Relationships, my relationship with him, worshiping Jesus. Those are the things I'm gonna focus on. And I'm gonna focus less on the consumerism of our culture that we all know prevails this time of year, that is so easy to get sucked into. So easy to get sucked into it. I was talking with some people after first service, and some of them had some great ideas. One of the things that they do is they draw names during Christmas. And that's actually something that Kathy and her side of the family do. She's got lots of siblings. There's lots of cousins, there's lots of aunts and uncles. So we draw names each year. And those are the names that we have for the year. Those are the names that we buy Christmas presents for. That's a great way to spend less this year, but to also be able to give more relationally, because you can focus on that person. You can focus on who they are, who God is, and then celebrate that relationship between you and them. It's a great way to do it this year. But some of you guys might have other ideas. So I'm just asking you, take some time on the Facebook post and just say, this is what I'm going to do this year. We're going to close with a song. And some of you this year, this morning, maybe you're struggling this time of year. This holiday season is difficult for a lot of people. The holiday seasons are always like, they bring up reminders of relationships that are broken, or they bring up reminders of family members that we have lost. And perhaps you're struggling this season. Well, we've got Matt, we've got Denny on the side that are willing to pray with you through this time of year and to help you get over that. I mean, we're a family here. We want to celebrate family here, and we want to be able to live life together. So if you need prayer this morning, we've got Matt and Denny off the side. Perhaps you want to take some time just to kneel before the cross and talk to God. Perhaps you just want to take some time to reflect on what God has done this time of year, sending his son as a baby boy in a manger, born in a stable, a humble human being, God become man. Let's take some time to sing.